Happy Sabbath. Oh, it's good to hear some bright and cheerful voices this morning. It's good to be here. Thank you for your warm welcome, Peter. And I think, you know, we're starting to rival Ararat with numbers lately. We need a few more numbers and maybe I'll be able to come down here a little more often. What do you think? Wouldn't that be nice? If you hadn't guessed by what the hymns were, Peter gave it away. We're talking about the second coming today. It's a simple message and essential to our identity as Seventh-day Adventists, right? The Advent is something we're eagerly looking forward to. And maybe you've been watching the world political stage change this week, and maybe it's your hope that that will hasten the end, because it's something that we're looking forward to. But whether you are happy about what happened or not, we know that every day that passes, every time we wake up, it's one more day until it's taken off the time that we have to wait for Jesus to come. And look, I'm very excited about it. After hearing, though in Sabbath school, about that 10:40 window where half the world's population live and only 1% of people have heard of Jesus, it really tells me that we've got some work to do still before that day, don't we? There's no time to mess around. Eliana's cousins came over last week. She's got three cousins on my side, and they all came out to visit, and, you know, she's an only child, so, yeah, she loves it when her cousins can come out. I'm not as good at playing dolls as some of her cousins. That may shock you to hear, I'm not sure. She wanted to play hide and seek with them, and it was fascinating to sit in the lounge room and watch them play hide and seek. And I'm sure you've all played hide and seek at some point or another. Her cousin started counting down from 20, 19, 18 with his eyes shut. And you know, at the start of the count, they're kind of thinking, standing there, where am I going to go? Where can I hide? But as the numbers got lower, 5, 4, boy, the other cousins started speeding up. They were running to find somewhere by the time one came. And I guess that's how it is with us as we approach the second coming. We should work more. We should go faster. Because as the time draws nearer, so too does the urgency of our mission. And it is near. And I guess that's what we're talking about today. God isn't playing around when it comes to the second coming. This isn't a childhood game, and yet we have signs that are given to us that are like that countdown, aren't they? We can tell because the signs that Jesus gave very plainly are being fulfilled in front of our eyes. And look, whether or not we want to read too much into modern day politics, there's more than enough evidence to tell us that we are in those last days, that the time is soon, that we need to prepare our hearts and prepare the world for the soon coming of our Saviour. So I guess today is just a reminder of some of those signs, because, you know, people will just say, well, it's nothing new, there's nothing new under the sun. And even with all of this political stuff, people say, this is just what happened back then, it's all happened before, there's nothing new, nothing's going to change. But we know different. We know the end is coming nearer. And I see a lot of confusion out there in the world, to be honest. People are unsure about their future. Even those who are atheists are looking at political events saying, surely this is meaning the end of the world, and maybe they mean it more metaphorically. But I think people are ready to hear this message that we have. And so I just wanted to share, I guess, the reasons why we need to be sure about what we believe and why we talk about it, because there is a lot of false information out there. A lot. You know, I remember just a couple of weeks ago, I had my 14th wedding anniversary. And that's not very much, but then I realized that Facebook only started 12 years ago. I've been married longer than Facebook's been around. So now that makes me feel like I've been married a little bit longer than usual. I'm sure many of you have been married longer than me, but it feels like a long time. And, you know, the kind of information that we have available to us now through social media is incredible. It is overwhelming, in fact. People start getting too tired of it and they just switch it all off. And so they're blind. They don't hear the right message. There's a lot of false information. But this is nothing new. This has been going on for a little while. But I see in particular, in the last sort of 50 years, it's been going on dramatically. People are searching for the end of the world. People are ready to lead. So you get people like Chen Tao, who said at 10 a.m. on March the 31st in 1998, God will make his appearance in the Holy Land of the Kingdom of God. And the address of the Holy Land of the Kingdom of God, by the way, was 3513 Ridgedale Drive, Garland, Texas. If you weren't sure where the Kingdom of God was going to come down, that's where he said it was going to be. And he said that was going to happen in 1998. I think he's still waiting. He pretty much believed that God was going to come down in a UFO, but that hasn't happened yet. Nostradamus, boy, his prophecies have some legs, don't they? You still hear about them. I still see things popping up on Facebook where Nostradamus would say something. So here's the one. In the year 1999 and 7 months from the sky will come the great king of terror. He will bring back to life the great king of the Mongols before and after war reigns happily. And followers would suggest that this is a prediction of the war that's happening, and they say he's predicted 9/11. But if you can get any kind of prophecy out of that, I'd be delighted to hear it from you. I don't think the great king of the Mongols... Who is the great king of the Mongols? Was there a great king of the Mongols around in 1999? Does anyone remember? Genghis Khan was brought back to life, you think, right? He's the only one that I could think of as well. Sun Myung-moon, leader of the Korean Unification Church, prophesied that the kingdom of heaven would materialize in 1967. There's a lot of people telling a lot of interesting stories. Jim Jones, of course, persuaded over 900 people to drink poison in 1978 on the strength that the kingdom was about to come. You can tell people are searching, can't you? They really want to follow someone who knows what's going to happen. People are afraid. Moses David, he was from the children of God, and he predicted that the Battle of Armageddon would take place in 1986, that Russia would defeat the United States of America and set up a global communist movement. That hasn't happened either. Of course, David Koresh, he forecasted that the Battle of Armageddon would begin at his ranch in Waco, Texas. Well, there was certainly a battle there, but it didn't start anything, and it ended at Waco in tragedy, of course. Marshall Applewhite from Heaven's Gate, he convinced his techno-religious cult to commit suicide as well, and he told them that was the only way they could hitch a ride on the UFO that God was coming past on. You know, I read these things out, and I think, how can logical, sane people have believed this? Because it sounds crazy, doesn't it? But you know what? These aren't fools who followed these people. But they were desperate for hope. They were desperate to know what was going to happen, to have the peace that comes with understanding what the future holds. Because there's a great fear in not knowing the future. You know, I'm realizing that as I get older and older. I don't know what the future is going to bring. When you're young, you just think it's going to bring joy and happiness and complete victory for you, and you'll live forever. But people fear and they look for answers. How can we avoid these kind of cults? How can we avoid that understanding? How can we, when we're talking to people, point out the errors? I mean, I guess it's a little easier with some because you can say, well, this was a failed prophecy, right? We have to test the prophets. But I guess, you know, we need to tell people what we know. And what we know is that this question was asked by the disciples in Matthew 24 we're looking at. They asked this question to Jesus, how will we know the signs of your coming and of the end of the age? So that's Matthew 24 in verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" It's nice to know that we're not alone in asking that question these days. We're still asking the same question, aren't we? People are still asking the same question. What are the signs? What is the end of the age? What does Jesus answer? Verses 4 and 5, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many." And you know, where we sit today, in 2016, it's very easy to see that makes sense that Jesus would say that, because he's a global phenomenon. But think about this rabbi, this rural rabbi, saying this to his disciples. Now, he's sitting on the Mount of Olives, and in front of him, across the Kidron Brook, is the vast, immense temple courtyard and the temple shining in the sun, pure white. And he's saying, people are going to come and tell you that they're me? It's ridiculous. If I said that, people are going to come and pretend they're me. It sounds ludicrous. It sounds egotistical. Except it happened. And that's what makes this so astonishing. I mean, sure, Jesus has been popular. He's had people following him. But he has this understanding, even now, of the impact that he'll have on world history. Have there been people claiming to be Jesus? Here's one. They like to grow the long hair, if you hadn't noticed. This man is an ex-Russian soldier. He's a Siberian citizen and the leader of the Church of the Last Testament. And he claims that he's had a vision telling him that he is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says that the end of the world will come soon. It'll be UFOs that bring it about. And he's trying to unite the world religions. He doesn't believe in money. He's vegetarian. He has 2 wives and 6 children. He's got over 10,000 followers worldwide. Isn't that astonishing? Jose Miranda?
"For the biggest government that this earth has..."
"Jesus Christ, man. And they lavish him with money and gifts."
"I only have 1 brother, I have 3. Because they want to give it to me. So when someone gives me a watch or something or a gift, I can see it, you know. I like them too. They're nice."
So, this man, the leader of the Creciendo en Gracia, Growing in Grace movement, has a massive Latin following, and he claims to be Christ in human form. He decided that Christmas was now going to be on his own birthday. He said that sin doesn't exist anymore. And you might think this is funny, except he has over 2 million followers worldwide. 2 million followers. Not to my research, no. In fact, this man did actually pass away a couple of years ago, which seemed to paid. But, you know, that doesn't stop people from following him or his movement still. Australia hasn't escaped from it either.
"He is Jesus Christ. We first found him spreading his message in Australia. And now this self-proclaimed Son of God has taken his mission to the world. Then at Hitchcock caught up with AJ deep in the heart of Texas."
"I'm going to have to say, I'm
That's how much rain is
there, you see. I certainly don't want to be big. At the moment, I thought you
had. His name is Alan John Miller, or AJ, a former IT worker from Queensland's Bible Belt, with one hell of a stalk. He claims he's Jesus Christ, back from the dead, to spread a message he calls the divine truth.
And remember that it has been prophesied in the Bible and other places that I was going to do this, that I was going to return.
AJ is currently on a worldwide tour. We travelled to the American state of Texas to find him. He's 9 months and half a world away since current affairs Nick Coe tracked him down for a first exclusive interview.
What you're leading is not cult. People will view it as such, probably. And the people do when you talk about being Jesus Christ and having the elders. You get what I'm saying?
Sure, but all I'm doing is saying the truth.
Yesterday, when we called, they claimed there was no such person by the name of AJ Miller even staying there. And they say there is no seminar taking place. So we go in with a local Christian who read about the seminar on the internet.
So, Alan Miller is an ex-Jehovah's Witness elder. He claims to be the reincarnated Jesus Christ. His girlfriend happens to be the reincarnated Mary Magdalene. And they've bought a lot of property up near Kingaroy in Queensland and have thousands of followers. Australia has not escaped from the prophecy that Jesus uttered on the Mount of Olives, that there will be those who come who say they are me. Jesus said, do not be deceived. You know, 1,000 years ago, when the papal church ruled supreme, if you came and said you were Jesus, what would happen to you? You'd either be executed or you'd be thrown in the dungeon as a madman. These days, you move to Kingaroy and get a following of thousands of people. Right? This is what Jesus knew would happen. And it's only happening in this last period of time that there's so many people claiming to be Jesus. He said that after 2012, the events that start to shatter the world will start. He says the sea will rise 100 feet. And, you know, you think it would be unlikely that people would believe him, but many do. They want to believe. They're looking for hope. But Jesus says, watch out that no one deceives you, for many, not just one or two, but many. This is only three examples out of hundreds. We could be here all day if I listed everyone who's claimed to be Jesus Christ. That sounds ridiculous to us, but it's turned into quite a cottage industry. They're making money out of it, let me tell you. What else does Jesus say? Very simple. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And, you know, this isn't, border skirmishes we're talking about. This is going to be nation against nation. And when was the Great War? About 100 years ago? It's only been in the last 100 years that wars have taken to a global level. You know, there are people who literally believe that World War III is around the corner, especially after they think about who got elected. They believe that World War III is going to happen. Some people say World War III has been averted. There's a great fear worldwide about war. There's wars and rumors of wars. I mean, you know, World War I still was such a huge waste of life. Between 9 and 16 million people died. In World War II, 73 million people died just in the battles alone. But if you want to be precise, the World War I actually caused the 1918 flu pandemic, which killed another 50 to 100 million people. So World War I is the most deadly conflict in human history so far. Wars go on every day. There's a war somewhere. Australia's involved in wars overseas right now. And I guess when we read that Jesus said this, it actually can give us some comfort, because he knew that it would be this way. He knew that it would happen. And so if he knows that it's coming, and he knows that we'll get past it. He knows the rest of what he says is to be trusted as well. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. That, from the website, you can see from 1973 is how much earthquakes have increased over the last sort of 30 years. And You can see a steady increase. And this is just a simple graph. Jesus said there'll be more earthquakes. Well, there are more earthquakes. But more than that, earthquakes are getting worse. Because when a big earthquake happens, you know, you think about Fukushima. That was just an earthquake, right? But it was one of the biggest earthquakes. It was the biggest earthquake Japan has ever suffered. And the consequences of it are still being suffered today. You might say, well, you know, so what? Oh, yeah, the events are getting worse. It's a natural disaster if it kills 10 or more people or leaves 100 people injured or homeless or displaced. So that's what they use for that database. The total natural disasters reported each year has increased from about 78 in 1970 to 348 in 2004. There's been a drastic increase. And yes, a portion of that is due to better reporting, but only about 10% of that. The rest of it is actual increase. Two-thirds of the increase, sorry, is real. And the results of rises in so-called hydrometeorological disasters. So droughts, tsunamis, hurricanes, typhoons, floods. Did you know there was a little mini hurricane in Mildura? Did you know my hometown of Broken Hill suffered golf ball-sized hailstones? It's crazy, isn't it? People will be hungry, there'll be famine. Percentage of the world considered to be living with not enough food. 33% of the 7 billion people who live here are not eating enough. Children that die every year from hunger. 1.5 million children die every year from hunger. Famines in various places. Total people who will die from hunger this year, about 7.5 million. So just today on this happy Sabbath as we worship together, over 20,000 people will die from hunger. Famines and earthquakes in various places. But look what Jesus says here in verse 6. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Don't be alarmed about it. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. So if I had to convince you that Jesus could predict the future, how have I done? He said that people would arise, claim to be him. That's happened. He said there'll be more earthquakes. That's happened. He said there'll be famine across the... And that's happened. He said there'll be wars, nations against nations. That's happening in a way that it never happened before. It's happening now. So at a very simple reading of these verses, we can see that it's being fulfilled, and it is being fulfilled in front of our eyes. Now, I think that's pretty astonishing. You might say, well, so what? But I think being able to predict the future like that, we think, oh, of course he can do it. It's Jesus and it's the Bible and it's easier to think about it now. But how good are people at predicting the future? This is what Western Union said about the telephone. The telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. Hands up if you've got a telephone in your pocket right now or in your purse. Who owns a telephone that they've got with them? Who's got one at home? Everyone, right? Rail travel at high speed is not possible because passengers unable to breathe would die of asphyxia, right? This is what they said before high-speed rail came in. The wind would be whipped out of our mouths and we would all suffocate. Decca Record executive said to this band, we don't like their sound and guitar music is on the way out. Who recognises those four guys? Right? Were they popular? There is no danger that Titanic will sink. The boat is unsinkable and nothing but inconvenience will be suffered by the passengers. Philip Franklin, VP of White Star Lines. Well, they did suffer a lot of inconvenience, unfortunately. Albert Einstein, one of the smartest men that's ever lived. There's not the slightest indication that nuclear energy will ever be obtainable. It would mean that the atom would have to be shattered at will. Guess what happened? We did it, right? Reagan doesn't have that presidential look. United Artists executive after rejecting Reagan as lead in the 1964 film The Best Man. He doesn't look presidential, they said. Thomas Watson, chairman of IBM, I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers. That's a really famous quote, right? Who owns a computer, right? Probably, again, most of us here. And this one was only from last month, President Obama reading out tweets.
President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States.
This is what Donald...
Exclamation point at real Donald Trump.
Donald Trump tweeted him and said he was the worst president.
At least I will go down as a president.
So this is a month ago. Obama, in charge of the, you know, the White House, in charge of the government, with all of the resources, all of the polling, all of the statistics, all of the information available to him, has said, "You are not going to be president, Donald Trump." That was a month ago. Boy, he got that wrong. He couldn't predict that. The most powerful man in the world today couldn't predict who was going to be his successor. What chance have we got of predicting anything? Nothing, right? We can't do it. So when we think about Jesus saying 2,000 years ago, there are going to be people who say they're me. Wow. And to see it fulfilled with such accuracy, it gives me trust in Jesus, in what he says. It gives me hope in the fact that we will get past these things where he says, "Don't be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." What's it going to be like? Revelation 1:7. Let's look at it. You know, this is important to know because people will tell you, "Oh, it already happened." The Jehovah's Witnesses will say it happened back in 1968. Jesus' presence is already here. The second coming has already happened. Revelation 1:7. "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be." Amen. Did every eye see Alan Miller in Kingaroy when he declared himself to be Jesus Christ? No, I didn't see him either. You know, even if you got on A Current Affair, the whole world has not seen Alan Miller, let me tell you. Not many people outside of Australia would have heard of him. What are we going to hear? Matthew 24:31. You know, these are just the simple verses we need to remember to reassure ourselves that we know the signs. "And he will send his angels," that's Matthew 24:31. "And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the one end of the heavens to the other." Has anyone heard a loud trumpet call? Has anyone seen God's elect being collected from... No, no one's seen that yet. Has Jesus come yet, by the way? What do we think? Will it be a secret? No, it will not be a secret. That's verse 27. "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." So by going all that we've looked at today, are any of those people who claim to be Jesus him? They're not. We can be assured of that, can't we? We can be sure because Jesus' words have come true. They're accurate. His prophetic words are accurate. So we can trust everything that he says. And I guess when we go to John 14, that's why I'm excited about the second coming. Not only because it's near, because we can see that we're at the beginning of birth pains, but because the second coming is about the second coming of Jesus. That's what makes it exciting for me. Not that it's a worldwide end of the world event. That's what people seem to be looking forward to. I'm looking forward to Jesus because he said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." If we can trust that Jesus is right when he says there'll be people who claim to be him, that there'll be wars, that there'll be famines, that there'll be earthquakes, if you got all of that right, can we trust him when he says, "I'm coming back to take you back to be with me where I am"? We can. Would you like Jesus to prepare a place for you? Amen. Me too. Father, please help our hearts to be prepared. Please help us look in hope to that day. And remember to share that hope with everyone we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.